God is writing a story. He has been writing a story for all of eternity. The story didn't start when He created the angels. The story didn't start when He created the earth. The story didn't start when the fall happened. The story didn't start at any point in time that we can fix. The eternal story of God that I'm calling the Emmanuel Agenda started in eternity, and it will continue for eternity. The Emmanuel Agenda can be summed up in one word, and that's the word with. The eternal story of God is the story of withness. This is His intent, His idea, His ideal, His dream, His purpose, to be with His people. From Genesis to Revelation, this is what our God is about and the journey that so many of us are on. In Genesis, we see that they were with God, for it says that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the cool of the day. At the very beginning, God was with His special creatures, His creation, Adam and Eve. Now, why would God create people to be with? There have been at times down throughout theological circles or in different things, you've heard the fact that God needed to create somebody. Was He needy? Did God need Adam and Eve? The answer is absolutely no. God needs nothing. God has withness within Himself. The triune God whom we worship and call our God, Father, Son, and Spirit, are with one another. They have community, perfect community within themselves, a community that is marked by radical, complete, other-centeredness, what we call love. So it was not out of need, but out of desire that God created man and woman. Why? So He could be with them and they with Him. Because the very nature of the community of the Trinity is to give. It is this radical other-centeredness and this love that wanted to create a creature that He could share in His withness that He had within Himself. Out of His great love, the triune God made a beautiful world for His special creatures to enjoy. Then He made man and out of man woman to be with one another and to be with Him. And the verdict in Genesis 1:31, those words we know so well, and behold, it was very good. But then we know what happened. At least most of us do. You see, His special creature, man and woman, decided that there was something better than being with God. They believed the suspicion created by the devil that God was not good, that something in fact was being withheld from them. The fall resulted, and because of the fall, withness was no longer possible because a holy God cannot be with sinful man in the way that He longs to be. The chasm, the separation that had been created, mankind could no longer be with God. Most of the rest of the Old Testament is the story of God and His people, Israel. But they were not really with God, not according to the Emmanuel agenda, not according to the heart of God. Think about the Exodus and the years in the wilderness. God went ahead of them in a pillar of fire by night and in a pillar of cloud by day. But He was not with them as He desired and as they were created. In fact, God even told Moses one time these words. He says, "I will not go up in your midst because you are an obstinate people." And that reflects the history and the pattern that God had with Israel for so many times. Because of their disobedience and because of their hard-heartedness, of which we share because we all share in that sinful nature, He could not be in their midst. God went before them, and in that way, He let them know He was with them, but with them from a distance. He loved them. He would not leave them, But he was not with them, not according to the Emmanuel agenda. So much of the Old Testament can be read as a lead-up, a prelude, the long introduction to what, or more specifically, to who was coming. The law was given to reveal that witness, the way we were wired to be, the very reason that we were created was impossible because of the breach that had been caused by our sin. Then after the close of the Old Testament, there was 400 silent years. The final act of preparation of our God to greatly increase the longing of His creatures and the awareness of the gulf that existed between us and God. The experience of darkness, spiritual darkness, enhanced, as Isaiah tells us, to set the stage for the central event and the central figure of the Emmanuel agenda. And so up on the screen, we read again the words that we just read in Scripture, where the angel says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Now I want you to look at this very carefully. Christy, go back one screen. I want us to look at this very carefully. The incarnation of the Son of God. Notice what the angel says. The incarnation of the Son of God, the giving of His name Jesus, what that name says about His mission, that is to save His people from their sins, according to what the angel says here in Matthew 1, 21 through 23, the angel says all of this took place, His incarnation, the giving of His name Jesus, the mission that name signifies that saves His people from their sins, all of this took place to point to another reality. In other words, what I am saying is this. What the angel says about the incarnation, what the angel says about the name and what the meaning of that name is, finds its context in the larger story of Emmanuel, God with us. That's what he says. All of this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. What I'm saying is that the Emmanuel agenda is the story that is unfolding. It is his story. Because the purpose of God is, has been, and always will be to be with a people who will love and value being with Him as their supreme treasure in lives. So God robes Himself in flesh and lives with His creatures to reveal what an incredible God we have. But then something else was necessary. Because the gulf that exists because of our sin still reigned, and the Emmanuel agenda still not possible, that gulf that existed between God and the ones He wanted to be with. So, in Emmanuel, God with us, God became Jesus, which is God for us. The cross, the mission of Jesus Christ, and the cross can be and should be understood as the centerpiece of the Emmanuel agenda, not the climax. Can I say that again? The cross can be and should be understood as the centerpiece of the Emmanuel agenda, not the climax. We are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. Our sin paid for. Our sin removed. The great gulf that existed between us and God taken away in Jesus Christ as He, Emmanuel, became Jesus, God for us. Why? Well, think of this. Because of the finished work of Christ, that is a part of the ongoing eternal story called the Emmanuel Agenda, because of the finished work of Christ, now God with us, who became God for us, now through the Holy Spirit, the story continues as God in us. As I said last week, mentioned this verse last week, Jesus was not trying to simply to comfort his disciples. He did not see his disciples bereaved at the fact that he was going to return to the Father and leave them on earth, and they in their sorrow, Jesus saying, oh, I must comfort them. No, he was speaking the truth when he said in John 16, verses 6 and 7, these words, but because I have said these things to you, that is about leaving them and going to the Father, sorrow has filled your heart. I mean, can you identify with the disciples with that? I mean, their best friend, their Lord, their master, the ones whom they had left everything to follow, was now leaving them. Their sorrow, they were in grief. He says, sorrow has filled your heart, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is not just trying to make the disciples feel better. He is speaking a fact. He is saying to the disciples, it is better that I'm not here, because when I go, the Spirit will come, and when the Spirit comes, well, notice what he says. About the Spirit, Jesus says in John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, now check it, because he abides with you and will be in you. The disciples had God with them in the person of Jesus. They did not have God in them in the person of the Spirit until Christ ascended to the Father. So God in us, a part of that eternal story. And we understand the New Testament now as the story of Emmanuel in the Gospels, which ends with the cross that has removed the sin of every believer and opens the door for you and I to come to God. Then Acts and much of the rest of the New Testament, we see the Spirit of God, who is God's presence with and in us. Beloved, today as we sit here, we are far along on the Emmanuel agenda, but we are not at the climax yet. The cross, the glorious cross, the wonderful cross, has done all that is necessary to make the climax possible. In Matthew 26, 29, Jesus, speaking of the final Passover and the first Lord's Supper, of which we will celebrate in a moment, says these words to his disciples, I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. You see, this table, these tables that we are going to observe in just a moment, that remind us and call to our memory the wonderful cross of Christ, where he bore our sin on Calvary so that he might open the door that we can come into the presence of God and be forgiven rather than judged, makes possible what the Emmanuel agenda and what the heart of our God has deemed all along, that he may be with us one day in the way that the Emmanuel agenda has designed. You see, this table speaks about Jesus' bloody, sacrificial death. Jesus sees it and speaks of it in the context of the larger story, what I'm calling the Emmanuel agenda, which is God's relentless and furious pursuit to be with his people. And so, we read about the end of the story, because that's what it's been about from beginning to end. About the climax, that the central event, the cross, has made possible. The climax in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, these glorious words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and sea was no more. and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. That's the climax, folks. Beloved, that's what Emmanuel has been about all along. That has been the heart of God. That has been the story that he has been telling from all of eternity. The story that he has been writing has been the fact that he desires to be with his people. The cross is the central event of that story that makes this climax possible. The cross, this table and what it represents, is the central event. While we were teaching our one Sunday school class, and we were teaching about the cross, God, I believe, some of you may not believe it when I share with you this, but God, I believe, gave me something that I've been meditating and reflecting on for now the past several weeks. I've taken what I believe God has given me, and I've run it by a couple of people that I trust a lot, spiritual mentors, if you will, in my life. I've kind of laid it before them, and they both were impacted by this. I encourage you perhaps to think about it yourself. Because you see, I believe that the Emmanuel agenda, as I said, is the eternal story of God. I believe that it began in eternity past. I believe it'll continue for all of eternity. So here's the thought that God gave me. The cross is not plan B. Adam and Eve didn't mess up and God saw all of a sudden say, man, now we got to fix what they messed up. Oh, I got it. How about the cross? That's not the way it happened. The cross has been, is, and always shall be the central event of the Emmanuel agenda. For all of my Christian life, for most of my Christian life, this is the way I thought. That the cross necessitated that the fall necessitated the cross. That because Adam and Eve messed up, the cross, that we needed to have the cross, and God knew it beforehand, but the fall necessitated the cross. And during teaching the one Sunday school class, I started thinking, as I was praying and thinking about it, I started thinking, I wonder if I've got that completely backwards. That it's not that the fall necessitated the cross, but the cross necessitated the fall. Why? Because the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where God sent his Son and Christ laid down his life, the cross where he poured out his life, the cross where he revealed more than in any other moment in all of history who God is and what he is like, the cross is the place where we see the glory of God displayed. So understand this morning. You know God in a way that Adam and Eve could have never known him. If Adam and Eve would have never fallen, they would never have known the depths of love and grace and mercy that you now know because of the cross. And so I have been thinking, the cross, so glorious, so wonderful, at that place where we see the glory of God displayed like no other place in all of history, in all of the Emmanuel agenda. It is there that we come to experience the glorious grace and the mercy and the depths of God's love. This table, the body and blood of our Lord, is the centerpiece, the climax that God is with us forever. That is what Jesus was saying and talking about in Matthew 26 when he says, I will not eat of this drink of the fruit of this vine again until I enjoy it with you Can you imagine the next time that Jesus takes the fruit to his lips? It's going to be with his people in heaven. And there we will enjoy the eternal climax of the Emmanuel agenda for all of eternity as we are with God as he always intended it to be. Would you bow your heads this morning and let us pray? God,